Well, good morning, everyone. It is a pleasure to be here today. My name's Kim. I'm part of the staff team here. And as Guy said, we are looking today, or over these few weeks, about suffering and perseverance. And why is it that God's will doesn't always happen? And today, we're considering the elements in the spiritual realm that might stop God's will from happening. And if you were looking for a passage about weird spiritual stuff, then Daniel would definitely be the place to start. And we have here this passage of Daniel having this encounter with an angel who has come to bring him a vision, a prophetic vision. And Daniel has been fasting and praying for the last 3 weeks, and he's gone out to walk alongside the River Tigris, still in prayer, when he sees this angel. And the angel gives him a remarkably strange explanation of why he's late to bring him this vision. He says, I came in response to your prayers. As soon as you started praying, I wanted to respond. But in verse 13, the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. So since Daniel started praying 3 weeks earlier, this angel, probably Angel Gabriel, has been trying to respond to him. But he's been detained for 21 days by the prince of Persia. That is, by the demonic forces who were in control of the Persian kingdom. And so the angel needs help from another angel, Michael, to be able to get through and deliver this vision to Daniel. Which gives us a really fascinating insight into the spiritual realm and into the role of the angelic and the demonic forces who are battling for the domination or for the freedom of God's people. There is a spiritual battle going on. A very real and live spiritual battle going on. That was true 500-600 years BC when Daniel was writing. It was true in first century Palestine. We hear Jesus saying that the thief, that's the Satan, he comes to kill and to steal and to destroy. A very real and active spiritual battle, real for Daniel, real in Jesus' time, and real for us too, going on over the lives of God's children, and not just for our salvation, but for that promise of life in all its fullness, for God's health and blessing in our lives. And it manifests its way in a myriad of different ways in our lives, and we should not be surprised to see it. So when we are persistently faced with discord or disunity or bad attitudes in our relationships, when we are repeatedly faced with persistent bad health, when we are persistently faced with a constant sense of futility or closed doors in the things that we turn our hands to, when we don't feel like we are flourishing in spite of all of our best efforts, these are the times when we should seek to sense what is going on in the spiritual realm, to discern what is really going on behind the physical situations that present themselves to us. In a bigger sphere, when in Western political systems are becoming increasingly right-wing and secularist and phobic, when socialist ideas and the welfare of the community are ideas that are seconded compared to capitalism and free market ideals, when these things are happening, we should be seeking a sense of spiritual discernment about what is really going on in the spiritual realm behind the physical that is presenting itself to us. I find it fascinating in this passage that in verse 7, Daniel says this, I was the only one who saw the vision, who saw the angel. Those who were with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. See, Daniel is filled with the Holy Spirit at his time to be a prophet. And as part of that prophetic gift, he sees into the spiritual realm. And so he sees the angels as they come and present themselves to him. But his friends don't have that gift of insight. And yet, even though they don't see the angel for themselves, they do have an emotional response to it. They are filled with terror. They run and hide. And I think that is most frequently more true for us. We don't see what is happening in the spiritual realm. But often, I think, we do have a good emotional response to things that tell us, that help us to discern where God is, what is happening in the spiritual realm. And so we need to be paying attention to that. We are living in a spiritual battle. And when we face places in our lives where we sense that battle going on, we need to be turning to setting our hearts on Jesus and trying to discern what is happening behind what is presenting in the physical. Okay, so that first point, there's definitely a spiritual battle going on. We need to pay attention to it. Secondly, out of this passage, I think that there's a really clear message that prayer is very, very powerful and needful. Daniel started to pray, and there is an immediate spiritual response. Gabriel says to him, since the first day that you started praying, I wanted to come and respond. Immediately that Daniel prays, angelic forces are moved into responding, because prayer is powerful, and it always, always, always has a spiritual effect. Whether we see it or not, prayer is never futile. It's never powerless. It's never empty. We have already spent time thinking over the last few months about the necessity of intercession, also about the necessity of perseverance. And this is why we don't know what spiritual battles are going on. We don't see them as clearly as Daniel sees them. But our prayers are always powerful and always effective. Sometimes it just takes us a little while to see the results. It's not like Amazon Prime for prayer. We don't pray today and get it tomorrow. Because prayer happens in real chronological time. I think that God is outside of time. So when I pray, I expect an instant response. But that's not how these things work. They work themselves out in real time. It's a bit like the light switch out in the toilet in the choir vestry. You turn the light switch on, and then you walk into the bathroom, and you think, oh, that wasn't the light switch. I'll find the real light switch, and it's not there. So then you walk back outside again, and you turn the light switch on and off again, and you walk back in, and then the light finally comes on. Because you flick the switch, and with electricity, you expect an instant response, but out there, you definitely don't get an instant response. But it's like that with our prayer. Sometimes we pray, and we expect an instant response, but so often, prayer isn't like that. These things work out through chronological time, and we have to give them time to work out. Prayer is powerful. It's always effective, but often it's not immediate, and we need to give it the time because there's a battle happening. We need to give that time to work out. Thirdly, I think a really important thing that comes through this passage in terms of suffering and perseverance and why things don't always go God's way is that we need to maintain a sense of hope. The prophetic literature in our Bibles is written with lots of different event horizons. So does the fulfillment of the prophetic come within the narrative or the lifetime of the people that it's happening to? Does the fulfillment come in Jesus? Does the fulfillment of the prophetic come in our lifetimes? Or does it come in the end times when we know Jesus will come again? Well, probably all of those event horizons are true for the prophetic material that we see in the Bible. All of those are true. Throughout the narrative of Daniel, we see a pattern of oppression and then a promise of hope. And that repeats through the narrative, a pattern of oppression and then a promise of hope. So the pattern of oppression is that human beings and human kingdoms descend into violence and disorder, and Daniel describes it as beastliness. And they glorify their own power. They redefine what is right and what is wrong. And they don't acknowledge God as king. Things which seem very familiar, I think, in our current social and cultural setting. We have this pattern of oppression. But then we have this repeated promise, a promise that one day God will come and confront the beastliness that is oppressing us. That God will rescue his people, that God will rescue his world, and that God will bring his kingdom to reign in our lives. And this pattern of oppression and the promise of hope sees its event horizon, actually, for the people of Israel at the time. That particular moment of exile is over within 100 years. It also happens in the life of Jesus, who rescues us ultimately from the oppression of sin and death. And it also happens in our lives when we experience moments of rescue and deliverance throughout our lives. And ultimately, it will happen when Jesus comes again. There is hope for all generations of God's people that we will find rescue and freedom. But we need to maintain a sense of hope. So, in reference to suffering and perseverance, why do things not always go God's way? Well, we can understand that there's more going on than we can see. We need to open our eyes to see that there's a spiritual battle going on and to acknowledge that. We need to maintain a sense of prayer because prayer is powerful. And we need to maintain a sense of hope because we know that God always comes and rescues his people and sets them free. Shall we pray?